campus to the Purple Project Podcast. On the menu, this podcast is all about the latest developments in Kansas State athletics. From football to basketball and everything else in between the college town of the Little Apple, it's the Purple Project Podcast. And now your host, Eddie Greer III.
It is a great time to be a Wildcat fan, and none other than that, a K-State Wildcat fan. This is another edition of the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition. I'm your host, Eddie Greer. This is episode 151 of the Purple Project Podcast. All things K-State coming at you on this Monday evening here in Manhattan, Kansas. I'm recording this podcast, the 20th of March, 2023. I'll bring on my co-host in just a moment, the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State. If it's your first time hopping on board to this podcast, this is a great time to be a part of this podcast. Appreciate you for checking us out here. This podcast will come out Wednesday ahead of K-State getting into the Sweet 16. They'll take on Michigan State. A lot more coming up on this podcast about them. And, of course, we'll have our immediate reactions still to come throughout the weekend. Yes, K-State has made it. They're going to go from the Little Apple to the Big Apple, folks. From Manhattan to Manhattan, folks. New York, here we come. Man, so excited. Man, football and men's basketball, it's been some kind of ride, folks, from throughout the calendar out. Athletic career or athletic year, if I can speak here on this Monday night. But yes, such exciting time here in Manhattan, Kansas, as I come here, obviously, as I live here. My co-host, by the way, Alex Aiden, and we're both K-State grads and also K-State alums from the Wildcat 91.9 radio station. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. Oh, by the way, that other team out there, San Diego State, also getting into, yes, I'm bringing it up, making it into the Sweet 16. Alex, how you doing out there?
I was going to be, like one of the first things I was going to say. Hey, you know, there's another team out here that got in the Sweet 16, which I'll say this. A lot of people picked San Diego State to lose in the first round to Charleston. I think Charleston only had like 3 losses on the year, so that was like a popular bracket buster. And San Diego State won that game. And then the second game they I can't remember they played now, but they just demolished whoever it was. I think it was Furman. It was Furman who upset Virginia. That's who it was.
Yep.
They beat them by almost 30. So they really beat them, and they made the Sweet 16. And I had that in my bracket, so had them going to the Sweet 16. I did not have Furman in the bracket, but I did have San Diego State in the bracket going to the Sweet 16. So I got that one right. I also had K-State going to the Sweet 16 in my bracket.
So did I.
Yeah, yep. And I got that one right, but I'm going to be honest, I didn't think they were going to win.
No, absolutely not.
I was like, I have them in my bracket, but going into the game, I was like, eh, I don't know. I kind of feel like I should be preparing my speech for the Purple Project podcast this week on, you know, it was a good year. It's a good year, but, you know, there's nothing to be disappointed about. But you know what? They went out and won, so... So, E-Ma, Eddie, E-freaking-Ma, let's go. I'm telling you this before we jumped on, this is just so much, it's even sweeter because Kentucky fans are such bad losers. And it's like, oh my god, I didn't even know you guys were this bad. I didn't know they were that bad, man. I didn't know they were that bad until we won. Like, I didn't care. If K-State would have lost, it would have sucked, but I wouldn't have been like... just had a complete meltdown. Like, these Kentucky fans are just like, they're melting down, man. And so, you know, to each their own, you know, they let the little guy get them, you know. So it goes. Look, Coach Cal, it's okay. Many teams have let the little guy beat them this year. You're not the only one to have circles coached around you or to have him, you know, play, you know, dribble circles around you. He's done it to other coaches this year, too. So you're fine, but... you know, it's ironic. I will say this. I was really impressed. I shouldn't say impressed. I really enjoyed Coach Tang's responses, though, to those Kentucky reporters who just continued to pepper him about Kentucky and how great Kentucky is before the game, after the game. And he was having none of it, Eddie. I mean, he was just having none of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And the team wasn't having any of it. And the Kentucky reporters didn't like it, and the Kentucky fans didn't like it. They felt like K-State was giving bulletin board material. But you know what, Eddie? I like it. You know, I think that you set an expectation. I think that's part of the reason why K-State is in the Sweet 16. You set an expectation, and Jerome Tang did when he came in, that this isn't about the other teams. Like, this isn't about KU, right? We heard that one. This isn't about KU. This isn't about Kentucky. This isn't about Baylor. This isn't about the other team. This is about K-State. This is about us. And he doesn't care how many rings Kentucky's got. He doesn't care how many five-star recruits John Calipari's got. He doesn't care.
Speaking of which, I got that clip pulled up here. I know. Why we tweeted it last night. Let's play that here after the game here. Yeah, and then you can finish here. Jerome Tang, yes. This is him last night after we beat Kentucky last night, folks. Let's check it out.
Well, you know, we have a program that's rich in tradition also. And, all those old dudes that play for Kentucky, they come back, right? Like, so, I mean, tradition does not help you if you don't get out there on the floor and play with some dudes. And we had more dudes than they did today. That's what it was.
So that, well, I played a little louder in my earphones. But Jerome Tang, that is my guy. That's our head coach, folks.
Yeah.
He was fired. He was fired up.
He was fired up, and it was because this had kept going on, right? Before the game, you know, Kentucky media is like asking him, you know, what it's like, going up against Kentucky and going up against Coach Cal and their rich history and all this different stuff, and he talked about the fact that, the biggest thing they talked about, actually, Eddie, was a crowd. They talked about, playing against what's it like playing against a Vols team like Kentucky and a crowd like that and all this. And, you know, he's like, you know, we played against, you know, the best of the best in the Big 12. We played in the best environments. Like, this isn't phase us. Like, we got cats, our cats travel too. Like, he just wasn't having any of it. And then, you know, Naquan Tomlin was asked about him, you know, the team, and we all kind of know the quote that went, you know, viral in Kentucky circles of him saying, outside of Shigway, we're not really worried about anybody else. And that kind of, made circles too. And then after the game, they're talking about Kentucky and history and this, as you just played, Jerome Tang wasn't having any of it. Like, we got history too. And we got dudes. And those dudes that were at Kentucky, they're not there anymore. They're gone. All that matters is what's on your roster, and we have more dudes. Like, that attitude, that mentality is part of why they are where they are. And you're building a culture, right, Eddie? You're building a culture in a program, a culture of winning, a culture of success, and a culture that's, again, built around you and not somebody else. You know, Cal came in, after the game, Calipari, and he was talking about how, at Kentucky, the standards are different, and, everybody's going to play out of their mind against you because of the name on the front of your jersey. And that is true. That is not an untrue statement, but that's not what happened on Sunday. That's not what happened. What happened was Kentucky faced a confident K-State basketball team that wanted to make the Sweet 16. That's what they faced. They didn't give a damn about the name on the front of that jersey of the team that they were playing in that game. They did not. They wouldn't have cared if it was Kentucky or if it was Kennesaw State, man. They wouldn't have cared. And, look no further than the Montana State game. Did they play as well against Montana State as the Kentucky? No, they didn't. But with that said, they played with the same energy. They played with the same intensity. And they played with that same fire. Again, they didn't play as well, but they played with that same mentality. And so, that's just something that, has made it sweeter. It's really made it sweeter. And so I look forward to breaking down, what happened that first weekend in detail with you. But I just wanted to say that they're just making it that much better, man. They're just making it that much better by complaining and crying. And I love kind of the way Jerome Tang has handled it all.
Yeah, yes, he has. For sure there. I kind of felt, even though we are going in that Kentucky game, I kind of felt the same way as the team did, like Naquan was talking about in the press conference there. We got to survive Austin Streetway. If we can do that, we know he's going to get his. If we could just limit everybody else, we got a chance to win this game. And I kind of felt a little confident going into this game. Yes, I was willing to lose, but at the same time, I felt confident in this team. Now, you just slow them down. All Kentucky has is Oscar, right? So you don't hear really about anybody else on that team now.
Yeah.
Wallace, sure, but funny
and
enough,
Reeves.
Reeves. We shut K-State did a great job on Reeves. He didn't do anything.
Oh, fantastic.
In that game yesterday. Yeah. There for that win, this and Naquan Tomlin has speaking of Naquan Tomlin, since he started off the tournament kind of shaky, picking up those two quick fouls against Montana State, he's turned over a new leaf. This is why I was so excited from last summer about his potential. He is showing up big time for the Cats, and now he's going home just like Ish. Marquise, especially in Ty Key. We talked about this last week, and now we get our wish. Four current players under the K-State roster going home, along with Curtis Kelly as well, one of the grad assistants for K-State. Shout out Curtis Kelly. We had him on the podcast last summer.
Check it out. Well, I guess you can check it out. You'll hear us talking about Bruce Weber getting let go a lot. Go check it out still. Go check out our pod with Kurt.
Yep, go check it out. And I'm actually hoping I'm probably going to reach out some again. After this, after everything's done, we're not quite done yet. He did want to come back on the show. So definitely going to tap into that after he's all wrapped up and done with K-State whenever this run ends. But hopefully it won't end. But wow, incredible, obviously, K-State men's basketball team. If you have not checked out the postcast over the weekend of both these games, check that out, K-State Nation, wherever you get your podcast, the Pearl Project Podcast, Daily Edition. Of course, the first game for round one, K-State took care of Montana State. This was a back-and-forth ball game until K-State clamped down defensively, 77-65. And then, of course, as we're recording this on Monday, the 20th, K-State, we own Kentucky in the postseason. This is the second straight time we've beaten them in the NCAA tournament. Kentucky, I'm talking about now. Of course, the 2018 Barry Brown layup there at the last minute of the year to upset Kentucky in the Sweet 16. A few years later, come back. How sweet it is. Beat them again. And now we're going to the Sweet 16. I did not see this coming. Probably neither did you either, Alex. We did not see this coming from this basketball team. Going back to over the summer, we thought that this team, hopefully, we're hoping to get the sniff of the NCAA tournament. I remember it very clearly. And now, fast forward to late March, here we are, getting closer and closer to the unthinkable of this team. This is the mentality of this team right now. I go back to Marquise Noel post interview comments right after the Montana State game, and he talks about Kentucky. Said they're in our way. They're in our way. That's another team in our way. Hey, we want to get to where we want to go. Kentucky, they're another hurdle in our way. We want to go right through these dudes. So that just comes full circle what they're doing right now. And K-State right now, we on fire right now.
Yeah, and that kind of proves what he said. Kind of proves the point that I, made about, Coach Cal trying to say, teams should go out of their mind because of the name on the front of our jersey. And again, yes, a lot of teams do, but that is a perfect example of my point that that's not what happened, though, on Sunday. Kentucky was in K-State's way. That's how they viewed it, and they needed to get them out of the way to move on to the Sweet 16. So, as Marquise said on CBS, after the game against Montana State, they said, Kentucky, what are your first thoughts? And he said, kill them.
Yeah, that's what I say, yep.
He's like, kill them, He's like, they're in our way, and they're in our way. And so, but yeah, rewinding, Eddie, back to a year where you and I were contemplating which team has a better chance of making the NCAA tournament, the women's or the men's team, before the season began, and Aoka League got shut down, we were kind of, you know, going back and forth on that. Look, I'm not pointing any fingers. I did say I felt the men's team had a little better shot. I think you said the women's team, and that's neither here nor there. hey, they're both playing postseason basketball, man. And I've had plenty of bad takes, so I am not going to gloat about one good take. you're right, Eddie. I thought that this K-State was going to be a bubble team. That's what coming into the year. That is what I thought. I didn't think they'd finish in the top half of the conference. I didn't think that they would be a very high seed. I thought that they would still be in the bottom half of the conference, but would be improved, and that they'd be a bubble team. And I didn't know what side that they would fall in the bubble, but I thought that's what they would be. And then if they found a way to win an NCAA tournament game, that'd be an amazing year. That was really kind of where my headspace was at. Hell, not even win a game. If they'd made the NCAA tournament, that would have been an amazing year. I don't even think win was even on that list. A year ago, that was the expectation. And, you know, for some people may have had higher expectations, and some people probably had lower expectations. But that's kind of where I sat with the team. And we obviously saw them start out guns blazing, right? 17-2. They get all the way up to rank 7th in the country, and they're playing really good. And then we know what happened the next 13. You know, they went 6-7 in their next 13 games before coming into the NCAA tournament. So they really slowed down, which was to be expected, playing that gauntlet of a Big 12 schedule. You knew that you weren't going to be able to maintain that type of pace. Even though they did start 6-1 in Big 12 play, you knew that wasn't maintainable, or wasn't something that could be maintained. And so you knew that was going to slow down. But K-State looked like a team, Eddie, that might be regressing coming into to the NCAA tournament. I don't know if regress is maybe the right word, because they caught that second win, right? They really struggled against Texas Tech and Oklahoma, and they were kind of sputtering there. And then they got hot, right? They got hot, and they beat Iowa State. They beat Baylor. They went down to Oklahoma State and got a win, and then they came home and beat Oklahoma in really nice fashion. So they got hot. They went on a nice spurt, and they kind of got right again. But then they, you know, had a disappointing game in Morgantown, and they went home. Not home. They went to Kansas City and had the disappointing game against TCU. You know, so they weren't necessarily on fire, right, coming into the tournament. And so, you know, even going into the tournament, Eddie, my expectations were, you know, a year ago, obviously, I was never thinking K-State would be in the Sweet 16 this year. And going into the tournament, I didn't know if K-State would make the Sweet 16. And again, I picked them in my bracket, but I didn't know. You know, I really did not know if they could do it, just because, you know, I've talked about this on the podcast. They just haven't been, they hadn't been consistent. You know, they haven't been consistent, and they do things to get you beat in the tournament. Turn the ball over a lot. You know, allow the other team to out-rebound you. They've been struggling a little bit in three-point defense at times, and, you know, three-point shooting, teams getting hot is a way to lose in the tournament. So they were doing some things that could really get you beat. So, I mean, even going to the tournament, I was like, I don't know how far this team can go. I don't really see a deep run in them. And to be determined, you know, how deep the run is, but they came out and they executed. And, you know, Eddie, I think that this starts really with the Montana State game. You know, everybody talked about the Kentucky game. Great game. It was a fantastic basketball game, too. It was a great game. Just like the Kentucky game that was played in 2018, that was also a great game. Both games were great games.
Yeah.
But the pace was really good. Both teams, I felt like both teams played really well. I thought Kentucky did play well.
Yeah, they did. They did play well. Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that Charles Barkley said that last night on, I can't remember if it was halftime of the, I think it might have been halftime of the TCU-Gonzaga game. But Charles Barkley said, you know, this isn't about Kentucky playing bad. I mean, this is about how well K-State played, and I agreed with 100%. You know, I didn't think Kentucky did play bad. I didn't think they played bad. I thought that it was two good teams, and K-State was just a better team. And, you know, while that's the talk, kind of, you know, the talk of the day, the talk of the week, talk of the weekend. I really think that it starts with the Montana State game, because we saw what was happening, right, that first round, and all of the upsets that are going on. We see it every year, Mark. But we saw all the upsets that were going on, looking at Princeton, looking at FDU, looking at Furman, right? Looking at
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Looking at Kennesaw State almost beating Xavier. I mean, looking at, Louisiana almost beating Tennessee in the first round, only losing by three. I mean, you saw, a lot of upsets and a lot of close calls. And K-State went out against Montana State, and they didn't play their best game. But they took care of business, and they did what they had to do. And I think that's a testament to them for going out and doing that, because it very well, very easily they could have, fallen victim to that trap. You know, a lot of these guys have not played in the NCAA tournament, and some have, but a lot of them haven't. And that could have been easy. You know, the lights are a little too bright, and, you're playing a Montana State team that has nothing to lose, and, they come out and they get you. But especially, if you're not playing your best basketball. But, K-State played with good energy, good intensity, and, while they didn't have their best game, they found a way to keep the gap wide enough to where Montana State really never felt like they were in the game, like, legitimately. It may have been an 8-point game, but I didn't feel like Montana State was, like, in the game. And Marquise Noel, I thought, played. He had 5 turnovers, but I thought that he played pretty well in that game. And then K-State was able to make some plays there and pull away at the end. So I think that was a testament to them. Now, we knew, when that Montana State game ended, that was not going to be Kentucky. What they did against Montana State, they were going to lose Kentucky if that is how they played against Kentucky. But that's not the way that March works, right? A new day. It's a new day. Every day is a new day in March Madness. It doesn't matter what you did the day before. And so, they went out and took their business against Montana State. And I think they deserve credit for that, because they very well could have been one of these teams that got bit, and they didn't allow themselves to get in that situation. Again, Marquise, 17 points, 14 rebounds, 17 points, 14 assists, 6 rebounds. And then that set up what we had against Kentucky. And then that was really the main course, which was truly a special performance for Marquise there. 27 points, 9 assists. And it was funny. I didn't tweet this, but I told someone in this game, I can't remember who it was, but I told somebody, I said, man, Marquise's stat line doesn't really do justice to how well he's playing, because his stat line wasn't that gaudy, Eddie, through parts of that Kentucky game. But it felt like he was really in control in that game. And Marquise Noel, if he's in control, Eddie, one of the best point guards in America, if he's playing too out of control, he can lose you a game. So it can wildly swing one of two directions. But it felt to me like he was in control of that game. And he had a pulse on that game. And I really liked the way that he was playing. I didn't feel like his stat line was doing him justice. And lo and behold, the stat line did end up balancing out there at the end, and really kind of showing the type of game that he had. But he was special. He was special on Sunday. That's where it started. That's the talking point. That's the one who really deserves the shine. Because he had his moment. In March, we talk so much about the moment, right? And players having their moments, and that's what that's what makes the sensei tournament so great, the moments, the stories. And for Marquise to be able to have that moment with everything he's gone through, coming back to K-State, just want to make a tournament, for him to be on the stage, standalone game, no other games going on, against Kentucky, and for him to do that, look, man, he's getting loved up by everybody right now. Right before the podcast, I was listening to a piece on Rich Eisen today on Marquise Noel. I see Isaiah Thomas tweeting about him on Twitter. I see Barkley talking about him. I see people all over talking about him. K-State alums from left and right are talking about him. He is having his moment, and he deserves that moment. And the school's having a moment. Eddie, Kansas City, last night, Union Station, they lit it up purple. They lit up Union Station purple for K-State.
Yeah, I saw that.
Look, KU's out, man. KU's out. Mizzou's out. It's K-State's show. It's K-State's show in that Kansas City Metroplex, man. They get all the shine, and they deserve the moment. They deserve the moment in the spotlight. Marquise deserves it. Keontae deserves it. Desi deserves it. Ish deserves it for hitting that big three. They all deserve it, and that's really the beautiful thing about it. And just to put a bow on the Kentucky game, Eddie, I talked about the Montana State game, and Marquise, having a good game. He had 5 turnovers, but again, he had 17 points, 14 assists. Keontae Johnson was really big in that game, too, with 18 points. Keontae was not as big in this game against Kentucky. Keontae was really off. He seemed tired. He was missing a lot of shots short. And he just never got going against Kentucky. That's just something that didn't happen. But again, Marquise, he had a great stat line, but statistically it wasn't showing up for him necessarily till later in the game. I tweeted this out as well at some point in the game, but man, you touched on Naquan Tomlin already, but he and Desi Sills have been complete X-Factors, were complete X-Factors in that first weekend. Desi is a freaking firecracker out on the court, man. I mean, he is everywhere making plays, and, he chips in with 12 against Kentucky. I forget what he had against Montana State, but he was out there making plays throughout that game. And then Naquan Tomlin chips in 12 as well, and he's 6 of 8 from the field. Really efficient. Didn't get into foul trouble. He played 30 minutes, which is huge when he can play 30-plus minutes, because K-State is just a better basketball team when Naquan is on the court. And so to get him on the court for 30 minutes, I thought was massive. And someone who deserves some shine, David Gasson, for the job he did on Shibwe. And again, Shibwe got his, right? He got his points. He got his rebounds. That was a problem. But he does that every single game. David did a really nice job of making him work for it. I thought that Oscar Shibwe, yeah, his stat line was great, but he just wasn't camping under the basket and getting whatever he wanted. K-State made him work. Like, he had to work for what he got. How many jump balls were there that K-State forced when Shibwe would go down low? How many times was Shibwe missing a bunny down low because K-State is making it difficult for him to get a shot up? I understand that he had 25 points, but, nine of those were from the line. He only, I say he only got 13 shots up. Like, that's crazy. But, I mean, you didn't give him the opportunity to go put 20-plus shots up on you and just become a complete wrecking ball. K-State really, really was able to make him work for what he got and then shut everybody else down and say, yeah, you're going to get yours, but we're going to make you work for it, and we're going to shut everybody else down. And then, and David was a huge part of that. And then, and then finally, like I said, Ish deserves credit. He hadn't done anything in that game. Hit a three, that's like nearly 30 feet. To give you the lead with a minute left or a minute and a half left or whatever it was. That was special, and I'm glad that Ish got that moment, because, Ish has gone through a lot, and for him to be able to have his moment as well, I thought was really special. So there's just a lot of great storylines that come out of it. Riding the high. I'm riding the high. They're riding the high. We should continue to ride the high. And, we'll obviously talk about Michigan State here, but that first weekend was special. That was a special, special first weekend. And as a K-State fan, you should be proud. You should be proud of the team and what they did. And, who knows what happens this next weekend in New York City in Madison Square Garden. But, regardless of what does, they gave gave us some damn good memories from that first weekend in Greensboro. And K-State basketball is in a very good place. And you can't help but just be head over heels for them. And you mentioned it, football winning the champ, you know, winning the Big 12, basketball in the Sweet 16. You got two All-Americans on your basketball team. You got All-Americans on the football team. I mean, what a sports year it's been. So it's a great time to be a Wildcat.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Head coach Jerome Tang, earlier today, is recording this on Monday, March 20th, 2023, was selected finalist for the Naismith Coach of the Year. Obviously, you're already locked up. Big 12 Coach of the Year. He has his cats in the Sweet 16 after taking care of Montana State and yesterday, knocking off Kentucky, pretty much pro-Kentucky crowd. Now has his team going up to New York, to the Big Apple, folks. Well, they'll be taking on Michigan State. This is the Purple Project Podcast, episode 151. Only 2-1 seeds left after the first weekend. That's Alabama and future Big 12 team Houston left. And, of course, the Final Four is in Houston this year. So we'll see if that storyline meshes in with them. Stay tuned on that. But obviously, looking at the matchups here real quick here, going down the line here with the South, going into later on this week, San Diego State, as we mentioned, taking on Alabama there in the South region. And then the other side, you have Creighton, who took, and we talked about Creighton last week on the podcast. They took care of Baylor. Now
yeah,
they take
Sweet 16.
Yeah, I had Creighton. I also had Creighton in Sweet 16 also.
Yep. I did not want to play them.
Yeah, I didn't want to play them. Nope. But I don't think I don't want to play this team either. The Cinderella.
Yeah,
I know. Shout out to Farley Dickinson for what they did to Purdue. But this Princeton team, whew, there's something else right now. 15 seed playing Creighton. This is going to be an interesting game right there.
They're on fire.
Moving to the Midwest here. Houston, as I mentioned, they're going to be taking on Miami. In the Midwest region. On the other end, we find our other Big 12 friends, Texas. 2-seed taking on Xavier. Woo! That's also going to be a good game there. Down to the West region, you have Arkansas, who just coming off of beating KU. So, obviously, KU ruined the Kansas City. Uh-uh, baby. It's all purple. Sorry. I'm throwing my shot in there as well. As well, because you see, most of the time there's obviously ever in KC, all the chatter is about KU and a lot of KU fans there. But yeah, they're out of the tournament, so they have to look at a lot of purple now. So they take it. Arkansas taking on UConn. UConn getting by Iona and then beating St. Mary's. On the other side, Gonzaga taking care of TCU in a wild finish last night. Gonzaga taking on UCLA. It's 2-3. And then our region. Oh, I should back up. West Virginia, the West now in Vegas. Midwest, Texas. You get Kansas City. So even though, yes, we're purple, Texas going with a Jira just there. Beating KU for the Big 12 championship there. South is in Louisville. And then go back to our bracket in New York City. From the Little Apple to the Big Apple, folks. On the other side of K-State, Michigan State, you have Tennessee taking on Florida Atlantic. Woo! The 9th seed who took care of Fairley Dickinson yesterday. And then, of course, they beat, see down here, looking lost. They beat Memphis. Yeah, there you go. They beat Memphis on their first round matchup. So all this is setting up. That is your Sweet 16. All 16 teams left in the tournament. Obviously, K-State, Michigan State, the times were announced. Today we are up first in this out of four games here. 5:30 Central Time is the tip. A little bit after that, 6:30 Eastern Time. I don't know what time that is your time. I think that's 4:30.
3:30, Eddie.
3:30. Woo! Okay, that's 3:30.
A little early.
That is for you. Yep.
But it's okay. I will be ready.
Yep. That and then you got Arkansas, UConn, Arkansas. 6:15, and then Tennessee, Florida Atlantic at 8, and then the late game to cap things off, UCLA taking on Gonzaga there at 8:45, and then that's shedding up to be a terrific
game. Final Four rematch of a Final Four of a damn good Final Four game a couple years ago.
That is, yes, where a buzzer beater went down for Gonzaga. Woo, remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, Alabama taking on San Diego State. That's going to be an interesting game there. That kicks off Friday's coverage there. And then Houston, Miami, Creighton, Princeton, Texas, Xavier. And then, of course, we'll know all the – that will set up the Elite Eight. But first off, backing up here real quick here to our contest with K-State, Michigan State. Michigan State upset Marquette yesterday, sending Shaka Smart home. Former Texas head coach there. He's going home as well. But, wow. Michigan, I consider Michigan, and we talked about a little bit of this before I hit the record button. But I consider Michigan State being blue blood. And interesting enough, none of the traditional, quote-unquote, traditional blue bloods not going to be in the Final Four. Duke, North Carolina, right? KU. I know I'm leaving a couple others out as well, but those notably, in my mind, stand out. Obviously, North Carolina last year made it all the way. Then they're not in it. KU, defending champs, they can't repeat. They're not in it. Duke, they got ousted by Tennessee. They ain't in it. So this is really, this is setting up to be, and I heard a podcast today. I can't remember which one. I think it was actually, with our buddy Fitz and Michael Swain. They were talking about this is good for college basketball. Not seeing Blue Bloods year in, year out, rule the Final Four. Now you're getting all these fresh faces in here. I just named off all 16 teams, right? They have a chance. They have a chance to get in. So this is setting up to be pretty damn good second weekend here, starting on Thursday.
It is, and I'm glad that you mentioned the fresh face aspect of that, Eddie, because so Jason Shear, he's an Arizona beat reporter. Many know him for his realignment talk about Big 12, Pac-12, but he does also cover Arizona, and he was, all in all, I like Jason Shear. I think he does a good job. But I didn't agree with one of his takes about if I could pull up the tweet. I've seen multiple. He's tweeted so many times. I probably can't pull it up. I can summarize it though. He tweeted something that is similar to what a lot of sentiment that I've heard about the East, and that is that K-State, Michigan State, Florida Atlantic, or Tennessee. One of those four teams is cutting down the nets and going to the Final Four. You know, is it fair? No. But is it what makes it fun? Yes. Or just something along those lines like that. And, look, I think that's kind of chicken bleep. You know what I mean? It's kind of chicken bleep. To hold off of the colorful language. Because I'm with you, Eddie. It doesn't need to be blue bloods every year. What makes March Madness so great and so unique from college football, well, you will use that as an example. What makes it so unique is that everybody's got a shot. Everyone's got a shot. And it's the madness is what makes it so fun and it makes the postseason so exciting. And, some years you may not have things break your way. But if you get to the tournament every year and you build a program the right way, you're going to have years where things break right for you. And you're going to make deep runs, and you're going to make national championships. And some years, it's not going to happen. But law of averages, that's going to balance out. Look no further than our friends down the road in Lawrence at KU. Last year, that was not one of Bill Self's better teams that he's had at KU, but they cut down the net. With that said, what arguably may have been Bill Self's best team back in 2010, the year that K-State made the Elite Eight with Jacob Pullen, that team was loaded, but they lost Northern Iowa in the second round. And that's what happens sometimes, I thought the KU team this year was better than last year's team. Maybe not, you know, maybe not, you know, because Abaji really came on late last year, and we know that Christian Braun came on late, so, you know, I definitely hear an argument that maybe last year's team was better, but I liked this KU team a lot, but, you know, it didn't break for them. You know, they got a bad match and matchup, but if they put themselves in position, they're going to make runs, and that's what they do. And so I don't buy into this thing. The fresh faces thing is great to see because you feel like everybody has a chance, and everybody, you know, as long as they put themselves in a position, can make that run. I tell people, you know, I can never see a scenario where K-State wins a national championship football, in college football, because the parity's not there. It's too uneven. It's too lopsided in football. In college football, you know. I can tell you right now, Eddie, what the playoffs are going to look like next year in college football. Okay, you're gonna have Georgia. They're gonna be in the playoff. There is probably a good chance that you will get either Clemson or Ohio State. I'd say there's probably a 75% chance one of those teams will get in. Michigan will probably get in. And then maybe Notre Dame. You know, maybe USC. But, like, I can tell you, Eddie, the short list of what the playoffs are going to look like next year, we haven't played a game yet. College football, that's not fun. And then you play the games, and then you get games that aren't even close and aren't even competitive. And it's the parity's not there. College football, I love college football, Eddie. I love it. I love it to death. But there's no parity in the college football playoff. And, yes, the playoff's going to expand to 12 teams. It is. But, you know, that would require you to win 2-3 games if you're a K-State against a team like a Georgia or Alabama. That's not going to happen. In March Madness, it's a completely different story. You take these teams, they all can beat each other. They all can beat each other. That's what makes March Madness so crazy. They all can beat each other. It's one and done. And all it takes is a chance to get hot. And I've told people that, you know, they said, if you think, who do you think has a better chance of winning a national championship? I've gotten this question multiple times from friends. Who do you think's got a better chance of winning a national championship? K-State basketball or football? I say basketball every single time. And I have said it for as long as I have lived, who people who have asked me that, 100% is basketball because of the structure of March Madness. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for college basketball to feel like your team is in it and your team has a chance. And to be able for other people to learn about your program and learn about your university, that's a good thing for a sport. So, I just don't want to hear that argument. And then with the East region, to finish my complaint, what I was saying about that region, it's not a bad region. I was telling you before the podcast, I'm not buying that whole, it's not a good region. You've got K-State, who's a 3-seed. A 3-seed in a Sweet 16 is not wild, okay? That's not a wild concept, Eddie. That's not crazy. That's not a crazy thing. You know, K-State, they're a 3-seed. They've won 25 games on the year. They have more quad wins than damn near anybody in the country. And they played in the toughest conference in college basketball. So, okay. Sure, you know, and they were in the top 10. For good chunks of the year, top 10 in the polls. So, shut up about that to anyone who says they don't. You know, they don't deserve it. Yeah, 100% they do. I just listened to you, David Rusnak. Tennessee. Let's go to Tennessee. Another team who's in the top 10 for good chunks of the year. Another team who has won a lot of games. 23, I believe. I think they've won 23 games on the year. And they have played in what I would consider probably the second or third most difficult conference this year in the SEC in basketball. And they had some injuries, but they're playing good basketball now. And they got a really good coach. They're a 4-seed. Again, Eddie, not crazy for a 4-seed to be in the Sweet 16. That's not like a mind-blowing thing. And they absolutely deserve it. And they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. So, okay. Let's go to Michigan State. Sure, Michigan State may not be having the, you know, the what you expect of a Tom Izzo team, but they've still won 21 games, Eddie. they've still won 21 games. They still have a team that shoots almost 40% from three-point range. They still have a team that's top 40 in defense efficiency, according to KenPom. And they still have Tom Izzo. So, come on. And then Florida Atlantic, they're 33-3. They're 33-3. What else needs to be said? They're 33-3. That's good. A 33-3 team deserves to play in the Sweet 16. So I don't understand the narrative. Sure, if you want to look at the seeds and look at 3-7-9-4, fine. Look at the seeds. But that's four really good teams who are getting their opportunity. And they deserve to be getting their opportunity. And they deserve to be there. And they should be there. And I just am not here for that argument. I'm not here for people throwing shade about the teams that are they're playing in there. I mean, welcome to March Madness, man. That's how it goes. I mean, you could be having Creighton and Princeton, a 6 seed against a 15 seed. You know, you could be having potentially Arkansas, UConn, an 8 seed against a 4 seed. I mean, these seeds are lower seeds, but I don't hear people talking about them. So, again, I'm not here for that argument, not here for that whole spiel about it. A very long-winded way of saying the East is good. You know, we'll get into Michigan State here in a minute, but the East is good. And, yes, K-State may be playing a 7 seed. They may be the highest seed. But it's going to be really difficult, Eddie, to go into Madison Square Garden and win two games. I understand that the highest seed. That's great, but so it goes.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
We are recording episode 151, which is right now the Purple Project Podcast Weekly on this Monday night, a couple days ahead of K-State, Michigan State. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, a couple of K-State alums slash Wildcat 919 alums for this podcast. Quickly, yeah, let's talk about Michigan State real quickly. So what do you expect? This episode will go out 24 hours ahead of that game, so it'll be Wednesday afternoon. So what should you expect from Michigan State, Alex, going into this game? K-State, obviously, right now, Marquise Noel is playing at a high level right now. And we just saw Michigan State beat Marquette yesterday there, and Tom Izzo's all about his defense. So, we know it's going to be a tough game. We also chatted about that before pressing the record button tonight. But what do you think? What do you think is going to? What do you think K-State needs to do to match Michigan State's intensity?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying that I do think that this is a better matchup than Marquette.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
I do think that I understand that Shaka Smart. You know, would you rather go against Shaka Smart or Tom Izzo? Of course, I'd rather go against Shaka Smart. But Marquette's a better. I mean, they've got more talent on their team, and that's no shot at Michigan State at all. I'm about to dive into them here, but matchup wise, Michigan State I think is a better matchup for K State. With that said, a tough matchup. Still a very tough matchup, and we mentioned we mentioned over the podcast, Michigan State's favored. Michigan State is the favorite right now. They're a 2-point favorite at the moment, which surprised me a little bit. I knew Kentucky would be favored going into that second round game, but I thought K-State would be a slight favorite against Michigan State, so I was a little surprised that Michigan State was a favorite there, but, you know, they are Michigan State, so it's not stunning. But in the matchup itself, Michigan State, you mentioned it, good defensive team, top 40 and defense efficiency in KenPom, and their offense is top 40 as well. I think they're in the 30s in both of those categories. And so, you know, they're pretty balanced. They're a balanced team. And what they do offensively, Eddie, is they make a lot of threes. As I mentioned, they've shot, I think, you know, in the 30s, close to 40% from three. So they're really good shooting the three ball. And in the NCAA tournament, that is a big, big weapon. A big, big weapon. That's how a lot of teams advance and go on runs in the NCAA tournament, is being able to hit threes. And so Yeah, that's scary. That's scary to go against a team that can shoot a three ball like them, because they're better at shooting a three ball than the team they just played, Kentucky. And so, you know, that's a legit thing. With that said, K-State has been one of the best defensive teams against the three this year. That's something they've been good against. I understand they had a bad game against TCU in the Big 12 tournament with it, but that is something that K-State has been pretty good at, is their defense when it comes to perimeter D and defense against a three. So you kind of strength against strength there. And then you look at Michigan State. Again, they're a good team defensively. K-State is going to have to work for what they get. This is not a game that's going to be in the 70s, I don't think. That would surprise me. I would expect it's probably going to be a game that's in the 60s, like a low 60s game. I could see that. They're definitely good there. But the one stat that I think is good for K-State is that Michigan State is one of the worst teams in the country at turning the other team over. And I'm going to credit Cole Manbeck. He said this somewhere. I can't remember if it was Twitter, if it was on a podcast or where it was, but he mentioned their where they ranked. I think it was like 346 out of 349 teams or something in turnovers for us this year. It's the lowest of any team K-State's played all year long. And that is a good thing for a team that turns the ball over a lot. In fact, I think they turned over the third most of any team in the NCAA tournament this year. I think I heard that stat as well. So, that's K-State's fatal flaw, is turning the ball over. And Michigan State, they don't force on turnovers. And that's a good thing for K-State. So, you know, we'll see. Again, it's kind of, we just talked about a strength against strength with a three-point shooting, with three-point defense. And you're kind of talking about a weakness against weakness, where Michigan State doesn't really force turnovers, but K-State turns it over a lot. So what happens in those two areas, I think, is going to go a long way in what happens in this game. But I'll say this. When K-State doesn't turn the ball over, Eddie, they win. They win basketball games. They looking at their stats, they really only lose when they have big turnover output. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to watch. So, looking at it, I feel pretty good about the matchup, but the three-point shooting scares me.
Yes, yep.
And Tom Izzo scares me. Tom Izzo scares me. We've heard the memes of January, February, and not the memes. We've heard the sayings of January, February, Izzo, because he's so good in March. The month is named after him. And look, he is a better coach than John Calipari, a much better coach than John Calipari. Jerome Tang coached circles around John Calipari on Sunday. It's going to be a lot harder to coach circles around Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is a really good coach. He's going to have his guys ready. His guys believe in him. And it's going to be a tough matchup. So while I feel like it is a matchup that favors K-State a little bit, I think that it's still going to be really difficult. I think Michigan State's going to play really well. And I think K-State's going to start a little slow. I do. And the reason is, looking at the matchup, Eddie, in the Garden, I think that you're going to have some guys pressing. You got so many guys that are from New York playing in the Garden for the first time. I think you can get some pressing, and I think you'll see Marquise throw a couple balls, a little out of bounds, or there'll be a little too much juice going on. I think that's going to be a thing early on. K-State's going to have to settle down. I think part of the other question is, how long does it take K-State to settle down and get into a group?
Yeah, I definitely, I can, that's a good prediction right there. I like it. I can definitely see that. You're at home playing in front of your fans and family. I'm pretty sure this is going to be a big showing, part of that K-State crowd, for sure. So definitely, a couple people want to go up there to see the Cats, and hey, why not, right? But yeah, I could definitely see that a situation where, especially early, they press a lot. They press, they make mistakes, turn the basketball. Look, Michigan State got a great start against Marquette, and they managed to hold them off. Look, Marquette made their runs here and there, but Michigan State jumped all over Marquette in that first half there. And every time Marquette responded with a big run, Michigan State would hit a three. And that's what kind of threw me off is, damn, I didn't know they were such a good three-point team until Washington. I'm like, wow, I mean, damn. So that part scares me going into this game. If that's like yesterday, like K-State didn't hit those threes. Look, they're 0-12. They were 0-12. K-State was for three from three. A couple people tweeted out that y'all need to open that lid for the basket for the K-State there. But look, Kentucky didn't do much better either from three either. No. So. But yeah, K-State, yeah, if Michigan State, of course, that they remind me a little bit about TCU. Of course,
very much.
Like TCU. When you compare, if you compare them to a team in the Big 12 that we've seen this year, who they remind you of? TCU. That comes to my mind right there. In K-State, they played pretty well. Now, obviously, we lost to TCU because they hit threes. Well, two people.
Which is ironic because they're actually not. Typically, they don't hit threes.
No, they're the worst team. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the league. And they, of course, hit threes when they play us. So, Michigan State gets their three going. K-State, don't get off to a good start. It could be a long afternoon. It's going into the evening for K-State, but I think
they need the perimeter D that they had Sunday. They need to play the same type of perimeter D that they played Sunday against Kentucky.
Yep, man. In the regular season, Michigan State, they finished fourth in the Big Ten conference, 11-8 there. Their overall record was 21-12. They finished off with a mini two-game winning streak. But again, we're in March, and you mentioned it. It's Izzo month, apparently. So, K-State, Jerome Tang, coaching staff, I believe in them. We're at the stage of the season where I like these guys a lot. I trust our guys. Yes, Izzo, they've been there before, done that. Izzo's got a couple national championships on his belt. But look, Jerome Tang is not going to back down from the challenge. I'm looking forward to it.
I think K-State has a better team. I think K-State has a better basketball team. You know, Jerome Tang said, we have more dudes than Kentucky. I think they got more dudes than Michigan State.
I think
they're the more talented team. It will be interesting to see if that actually can be executed on the court, though.
Yep, exactly. Bam, right there. If they can do it, what they did on Kentucky, K-State, they're going to be tough to be eliminated on Thursday.
Yeah, I think they'll win if they replicate that.
Yeah, if they come out like they did a little bit against Montana State, that's not going to happen.
They're going to a smaller apple.
Coming back to the small apple, baby. That's right. Hey, got to enjoy the ride at last. And Jerome Tang, Marquise Noel, a lot of mojo here in Manhattan, Kansas right now. But next, what's in our way now, veteran Michigan State team, and that kicks off the Sweet 16 games. I'll be in home in time just to see the tip-off of the game. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a big one for sure for K-State and the home folks led by Marquise Noel. You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly, episode 151, postseason edition. Eddie Greer here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California here. Around athletics, K-State athletics here real quick before we touch on women's basketball, who is still playing. Oh, by the way, yes, they're still playing, by the way. Men's golf finished up their first day at the All-American. When this comes out, they'll wrap that up. Currently in second place. Again, when this comes out, we're going to already know what happened with them. Of course, the men's team, golf team, just won last week. Another invitational tournament for them. Their fourth of the athletic calendar year. The men's golf team has been on quite a roll as well. Then you go to Tuesday. And Wednesday, we'll touch on baseball in the podcast. K-State baseball coming off of a head-scratcher series against Baylor. Now you got to turn, coming back home at least. You're playing a St. Thomas team who's 1-12.
I'm not talking about baseball until we actually go into baseball.
Yeah, let's save it.
I'll keep my lips shut.
Let's save it. I know. We'll save it for the end of the podcast. I purposely did that for the end of the podcast, so we'll touch on that. That's a two-game series beginning tomorrow night, actually. And women's basketball, which we'll get into here in a moment here. They will host Wyoming. And then Thursday and Friday, track and field going to Emporia State for the Emporia State Relays outdoor. So, again, K-State just finished indoor season as well. I'll touch on that in the daily editions coming up. I know we've been focusing on men's basketball for good reason, K-State Nation, but there's other things going on, sports going on right now. Men's golf, you can put them right up there with football and men's basketball, right, what they've been doing all year long. They've been kind of under the radar, but, hey, this is why we cover all things K-State, folks. So, but men's golf, they've done us proud as well this year, and they're second right now in All-American. That could change when this podcast rolls out Wednesday afternoon. So looking forward to doing that. Okay, so switching gears from men's postseason to K-State women's basketball, they blow the doors off of Wichita State. And by the way, shout out to K-State Nation for showing up to Bramlage. The students are back in town. Yep, they were in spring break last week, but still a good-sized crowd that a couple people have told me last week. But K-State, they blew the doors off of Wichita State offensively. Woo! And now you take a look at where they're at now. They're in the second round, and it'll host Wyoming, folks. I got the bracket right in front of me now. So 6 o'clock tip off, and it's actually, as we're recording this, tomorrow night. So when this podcast comes out, obviously I'll have a postcast ready to rock and roll as well. We'll know if K-State will advance to next round or they're going home. But we're going to know K-State's possible opponent. So Washington just beat New Mexico. Or actually, this was yesterday, by 67-56. So the Washington is waiting the winner of Wyoming and Kansas State. If Kansas State can get by Wyoming, they'll have to go to Washington in the third round. Alex, more basketball for this K-State women's basketball team will look pretty damn impressive against Wichita State team. Wichita State was pretty decent, 18-14, but K-State is just offensively locked in. Like Briley, Jalen, the Glenn twins, and Serena talked about in the post presser last week. Now they host Wyoming, and look, you're back at home again, home cooking. Opportunity there for K-State here to do some more home cooking. Wyoming, they're all right. I'll be honest, haven't seen much of them. But if K-State plays their game like they did last week, no excuses why they can move on here to possibly play, have a good challenge in front of their hands.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, and Wyoming, they're 23-10 on the year. Just looked it up here. They're 13-5. They were 13-5 in the Mountain West conference. So there's no doubt that they'll be a challenge for the Cats. But you know, going back to the Wichita State game, I think the most encouraging thing, Eddie, was seeing the way the K-State came out and played in that game. You know, I think there was some question, right, about this team. And, you know, going into the WNIT, I don't think there was any question about, you know, how hard they play. I think we all knew that this team, they don't give up. We saw the fight they had against Texas in the Big 12 tournament. And so playing at home in the WNIT, you knew they were going to have some juice. And they've been better at home. They've been better at home. And they've been playing better at home. We talked about that on some past podcasts. So, you know, they had the opportunity to play Wichita State at home. And, you know, I thought that they would take advantage of that opportunity. I did not know they would win by 34.
Yeah, that's spanking.
I thought that they could take advantage of that opportunity and get a win. And boy, did they. And it was just throughout the entire thing. Wichita State never had a shot. You know, K-State got up 7 after the first quarter. And then K-State outscored by 13 in the second quarter, and then K-State outscored by 19 in the third quarter. So going into the fourth quarter, K-State was up by 39 points. So I mean, there was no hope. There was no hope in this game.
Yeah, exactly.
K-State put it to bed early, man. They put it to bed early, and they never stopped. And A lot of points. Obviously, you mentioned game leader Serena Sundell. There were 16 points. She had 5 field goals. Couple threes. Obviously, Bradley Glenn chipped in with 15 points. Hit a couple threes as well. And then Jalen Glenn with 13 points. So, you know, the Glenn twins combined for 28. They combined for 28 points out there. And then Gabby Gregory also had 13 points. That is when, Eddie, a team is at their best, is when you don't have one player going for 30 points. It is when you have got when you are looking at the box score, right, and you see 16 points, 15 points, 13 points, 13 points, 11 points. Like, that is when you know you are playing your best basketball, your most efficient basketball. Because, you know, again, I'll rewind back to, I don't know why I'm using so many KU examples, but KU was not as good this year when Jalen Wilson would just go off. You know, if you look at the statistics and their record when Jalen Wilson would, you know, score over 20 points, it was not a very good win-loss record. But when he was under 20 points, or it was 25 points, or it was 20 or 25, but when he was under, their win-loss was way up because they were more efficient as a basketball team. So we've seen Gabby Gregory have her big games, right, where she just goes off. We've seen those special performances, but this is when K-State's at their best, when they're able to they're really efficient on offense. They're making the right passes. Everybody's moving, and they're executing and keeping a defense on their toes and getting everybody open looks, and everybody starts to hit them and feel good and get into a groove. And this is what you get. This is exactly what you get. What happened? A 34-point win, 90 points on the scoreboard, and super impressive. So they came out to play with a lot of energy, a lot of intensity, and they were able to get that win against Wichita State and move on. And I think it was exciting to see them play so inspired. And for Gabby Gregory, again, a lot of this, you know, giving Gabby the opportunity to really end her college career on a high note, I think it's something that's really important. And so to give her another game, I think is great. So let's see what they do against Wyoming. It's going to be a tougher game. There's no doubt about it. As you mentioned, the listeners will know who won that game by the time they're listening to this. But hopefully it's a win, and hopefully there's a postcast that is loaded up right behind this podcast that we're talking about right now, talking about the Wyoming win. Or went over Wyoming, I should say. So, and they'll be moving on to the third round of the NIT, or as they call it, it was not the Sweet 16, it was the Super 16, I believe. So they'll be moving on to the Super 16. So they'll be in the Super 16, and then the K-State men's team will be in the Sweet 16. So everybody's in the 16 somewhere. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but, you know, couldn't ask for more from him, Eddie.
Yeah, and you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, it is the Super Sweet Super 16, man. Not the Sweet 16.
Jason, no.
The WNIT.
Super 16.
Yep, just the Super Sweet Stick. Super. Oh, my goodness. Super 16, man.
You can't even say it without saying sweet.
Man.
You have to.
Anyways, they can have a chance to move on to the Super 16 there against Washington. So, Washington waiting the winner of Wyoming K-State. That's going to go down tomorrow. So when this podcast rolls out, once again, K-State Nation, we already going to know what happened there, because there will be a postcast, like Al just mentioned, about this ball as basketball game right here in Manhattan, Kansas, by the way. So definitely, it makes no sense to tell K-State Nation to come out, because it'll be too late. But let's hope that it'll be a good showing like it was last week in K-State. Can bring that same intensity like they did to Wichita State there. So it'll be a good test once again. Wyoming coming here to K-State. And when this podcast comes out, we'll know the results of that basketball game.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Now, and finally, to wrap the podcast here, once again, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden for the Purple Project Podcast, episode 151 of this podcast here, folks. You can find the Pro Project Podcast, K-State Nation, wherever you get your podcast. Here's your first time listening to the weekly edition. Welcome on board. to this podcast. It's a great time to be a K-State fan right now with men's basketball getting themselves Sweet 16 bound, not Super 16, and the women's team in the Super 16 trying to get there. They'll have to go for Wyoming first in the men, and which lands us with K-State baseball, baby. K-State baseball, again, they were off to a strong start. Eight-game winning streak and taking the first game of a three-game set against their first Big 12 series against Baylor, which was pretty bad. And then the next two, you drop it by the same score of 8-4. And now you find yourself 1-2 in the conference, but you're going to have to wait until Oklahoma comes calling here at Toyton Family Stadium on Friday. A huge three-game set with them. But yes, a little bit disappointing to see or to hear K-State baseball drop the last two games. And Alex, you had a little rant to go on before we hit the record button there. You are not too happy with K-State baseball there. Again, the main fish, again, like I said in the postcast, which came out against Baylor there, and even Major Pete Hughes said it as well. We've been saying it, and sorry, K-State Nation, ladies and gentlemen. We got to apologize once again for going right back to the well, but you got to win them baseball games on the road. If you're going to get to where you want to get to past Big 12 tournament in late May, you have to win these type of games on the road. And the snake came back and bite K-State in the butt once again, Alex.
Yeah. Well, I told you before we began recording that the baseball team is lucky that there's so much basketball to talk about, because not a lot of good things to say about the baseball team right now. Not a lot of good things. Look, this Baylor team sucks. I don't mean to sugarcoat it. They're not good. They're bad. Let me, just quickly, Eddie, let me rewind. It's been a minute since I talked a little baseball. I think the last time I talked baseball on here, we talked baseball. They were finishing their Army-Stonehill back-and-forth series. So they played Youngstown State, right? Swept them. You mentioned that. They go on the road to Creighton, and they get a good win. Creighton's better, than Baylor. They're a better baseball team. You go out and you beat them 3-0. And then you go to Baylor, who's 5-12, I think, and that Youngstown State team, Eddie, just to put this in perspective, Youngstown State, K-State plays them. K-State won one game 20-4, and they won another game 16-2. That team that they outscored 36-6 in two games, split a four-game series against Baylor in Waco. They split a four-game series. And Baylor's 5-12. And it's your first series of Big 12 play against the worst team in the Big 12. You go out there and you play well the first game. 8-1, win convincingly, as you should, by the way, as you should against Baylor. And then you follow it up with 2 8-4 losses in two games where K-State blew leads. They blew leads in both games. They were up, I believe it was, okay, I say they blew a lead. They blew a 1-0 lead in the first game. They allowed Baylor to jump on them pretty good, but they allowed Baylor to get, you know, 8 runs, 14 hits in that game. And then in the second game, kudos to K-State, they did not commit an error. They did not commit an error. We talked about that being a problem last year. Way too many errors, way too many mistakes like that. But then they get this. The one that really, really hurt them was the Sunday one. I can let one slide, Eddie. You know, it's baseball. Anybody can beat anybody. You're going to have a bad night. But what you can't have happen is what happened on Sunday, where K-State's up 4-0 in the sixth inning, and they allow Baylor to get 8 runs in the sixth.
You listen to my pod. Yeah, you listen to postcast. Yeah, 8 runs.
Yeah, that's not supposed to. That should not happen against Baylor. Two errors. Throw a couple errors in there, Eddie. How many runs were unearned in the sixth inning? Let's see. 1, 2, 3. 3, 4, 5. 5 of those 8 runs were unearned runs, Eddie, because of an error or because of, what were they, 4 walks in that game, too? 4 walks, 2 errors. That's not good. And just to quickly go take a quick peek at that 6th inning, hit 2 batters. So I'm not even counting that. They hit 2 batters in the 6th inning. And then they, after that, let's see, they also, again, they literally both the hitters that you hit are 2 unearned runs that end up coming around to score. And then lo and behold, you lose it, and you lose that game 8-4. I mean, that is what they were doing last year. It was driving me up the wall. And you did it against a Baylor team that stinks. Now, to Baylor's credit, they're 8-12 now. So their record is better after the series against K-State. But what's so frustrating about it, Eddie, is that K-State came into the series playing good baseball. You mentioned it. They'd won 7 in a row, and then they won that first game to get to 8 in a row. And they went undefeated on their homestand. They still haven't lost a game at home this year. And they were sitting at like 13-5. And then they did what is so frustrating, what they've done every year when they start Big 12 play, and that is lose the first series of Big 12 play and starting from behind. And it's like, oh my gosh, K-State is always, every year under Pete Hughes, they are trying to dig themselves out of a hole because they lose the first couple series in Big 12 play. And this year, we talked so much about, before the season began, K-State's got to start strong in Big 12 play. They've got to start strong in Big 12 play because they're playing the easier part of their schedule at the beginning. It's tougher at the end. They need to get off to a good start. I told you, Eddie, I liked it. I was happy that they were starting.
Yes, you did.
Like
you're on record.
Because I didn't want them digging out of this hole, right? But they're already beginning to dig the hole against bad teams. So, look, is it the end of the day for them? No, they're still 13-7. You mentioned it. They're playing a team that they should sweep at home. If they don't, we really got to have a come-to-Jesus moment if they can't win a game against a 1-12 team. I mean, at home. I mean, we're really going to have a little powwow then. But if they can win those 2 games, which they should, and be 15-7 going into their series against Oklahoma at home, then we'll see what happens. Oklahoma, they're not a team. You know, they're a team that K-State can win 2 or 3 at home. You know, taking a look at the Big 12 baseball standings, Oklahoma is currently sitting at 13-7. So they're right there with K-State. Both teams are 13-7. Oklahoma is 2-1. You know, but again, you can't look so much into the Big 12 record. They've only played. You know, there's only been 6 series and 6 teams have played. So I feel like it looks so much. But again, it's winnable. It's a winnable series. The team is 13-7. They're not Texas Tech, who's 18-4. Right, you're not going up against Oklahoma State, who's just freaking great. You know, you're going up against a team that's good. They're a good baseball team. They're better than Baylor. I can tell you that. They're better than Baylor. But it's winnable. It's winnable. And so we'll see. We'll see. Man, it's just not the end of the world. But it's frustrating. It's frustrating because K-State should have won 2 or 3, Eddie. And you had an opportunity. And K-State just let an opportunity slip through their fingers. And they did it in that 3rd game doing what they did all last year that we said they can't. They do it way too much, Eddie. They did it way too much. You were giving teams chances. 5 of those 8 runs unearned. And you blew a 4-0 lead. Allow for an 8-run inning. Can't happen. So, Saturday, I get it. Wasn't your night. So it goes. Sunday, that was inexcusable. That was completely inexcusable. You know, 2 hit batters, Eddie, is what set up that 8-run inning. That cannot happen. So, we'll see if they can clean it up. Hopefully, they can get a couple wins against St. Thomas, and they can get a series win against Oklahoma, because, again, they haven't lost at home yet. you know, they're still undefeated. And Toyn, they went 7-0 on that homestand. So there's one thing they do under Pete Hughes. They may not win on the road with Pete Hughes, Eddie, but they don't lose at home a lot with him. So they, you do have that going for you.
Yeah, yes, you do. Yes, you do. So tomorrow and Wednesday, St. Thomas, and of course, Oklahoma will come calling coming up this weekend. Speaking of which, Oklahoma is 13-7 overall. They're sitting with a three-way tie for the lead. I know it's early in conference play, but they're right there with Baylor. Of course, we had opportunities to be right there with well, switch places with Baylor, but instead we're in the mid-pack. And Texas Tech is also 2-1. Yeah, Texas Tech, the best record overall in the conference. If you look at overall records, anyways, 18-4 with a 2-1 record there. K-State, oh, by the way, is 13-7 heading into this week. So, chance to make up some ground there. And yes, the worst teams in the Big 12 look like KU, one of them, and KU and Baylor. Baylor's 8-12. KU's 8-10 overall. There and pretty much everywhere else, pretty good. So this Big 12 is pretty stacking up here. And TCU,
I'll give them credit, Eddie. I'll give them credit. They are second in the Big 12 in road wins right now, though, behind West Virginia. I will give them credit. They're 6-4 on the road, so that's better.
That's better. They've been playing better. They've been playing better on the
road,
though.
They've been playing better on the road. So they have been playing. Now, they are 0-3 on neutral, so that would add up to 6-7. But still, that's better. That's better than what they've been under Pete Hughes.
Yep. So, again, we'll have to keep on emphasizing this. Again, they want to stay relevant past the Big 12 tournament. They need to keep winning. Correct our grammar here. Keep winning on the road. But, yeah, cost a couple costly losses there. And they start off the Big 12 slate on the wrong side, 1-2 here. They'll look to pick a few more wins. Again, when Oklahoma comes calling, that's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But St. Thomas first. Got to take care of them first. Take care of business. And then go from there. All right, folks. We are pretty much need to wrap up the podcast here, folks. Episode 151 of the Pearl Project Podcast Weekly Edition here. Alex, anything else you want to get off your chest here before we wrap things up? I don't have a red zone here. Well, this will be our red zone, actually. So, Alex, anything else? Anything important you want to get off your chest here? Anything that you want to talk about here before we wrap things up here?
Well, Eddie, first thing, crazy. Texas Tech, looking at this, they played 22 games. They haven't played a road game. They haven't played a road game yet. That's wild. They're 18-4. They're 0-0 on the road. That's crazy. Well, that's the stat that's got my mind rambling.
I didn't realize that. Whoa, hold on. I did not realize that at all.
That's crazy. Now, they played three neutral games, okay? They played three neutral games, but they're 17-2 at home, 0-0 away, and they're 1-2 on neutral field. That's wild. K-State's already played 10 road games. That's crazy. West Virginia's already played 13 road games. West Virginia's only played 4 home games and 13 road games. Crazy. Although it's West Virginia, it's kind of hard to play baseball at home in March and late February and March. So, hang out. There's that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But outside of that stat, I'll end it with basketball, Eddie. I'll end it with basketball again. You know, we're going into the year of the Sweet 16. I don't know what to hold for K-State this upcoming weekend with Sweet 16 and Elite Eight weekend in New York City. But, you know, regardless of what happens, Eddie, I think that this season has just been an amazing basketball season. And I'm kind of giving this blurb because if I don't now, if the season's not over, next time we talk, that means we're going to the Final Four.
Yep. Yep. We'll be on either way, but that's right, you're right.
We'll be on either way, but if I don't give my spiel right now, that means we're going to the Final Four. And I don't know if we're going to the Final Four. I don't know if I've got the kahunas to call us going to the Final Four. So, regardless of they lose to Michigan State, or we're talking about them going to Final Four, the Final Four next week, man.
Yeah.
Regardless of however the pendulum swings, they've had an amazing year. And I think it's important that, you know, I think that, you know, in the midst of whatever happens, your emotions can take over and you can lose sight of what's happened. But regardless, it's been an amazing year for the men's team. And they've given us amazing memories. Jerome Tang has exceeded everything we could ever ask for when he took over that job for year one. And just encourage KC fans to, and just, I know they're enjoying it. I see it on Twitter. But continue to enjoy it. And again, regardless of what happens against Michigan State, if they are fortunate enough to be Michigan State, whatever happens against Tennessee or FAU, well, I guess they don't want to be called FAU now, Florida Atlantic, then, you know, just remember to enjoy it. And enjoy the moment, enjoy the ride. This is amazing. I just wanted them to get to the second weekend, Eddie. They did. And in my mind, they're kind of, you know, they're playing with house money now. You know, I understand they're the highest seed. I get it. But they're playing with house money. They have nothing to lose, in my mind. Go out there, play Michigan State, do what happens. You know, if you're fortunate enough to beat them, you know, go out and play either Florida Atlantic or Tennessee and see what happens. And go from there, you know. But you know, I'm not going to get caught in this. K-State could make the Final Four. K-State, oh my gosh, I've been there, I've done that. They've lost to the Elite Eight both times, so I'm not going to.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I ain't doing it. Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get my hopes up about that.
Don't do it.
I'm going to stay in the lane of it's been a great season. Regardless of what happens, enjoy it, celebrate it. Whether that's a win to go to the Elite Eight and a win to go to the Final Four, or if that's a loss in Sweet 16, whatever happens, celebrate it. Celebrate the season. Celebrate what they've done. They deserve it because they've given us a hell of a year. We'll be celebrating them regardless of what happens next week on the pod.
That's right. That's right. We'll see what happens on Thursday. What card is dealt for K-State? We'll have to find out and see, man. Like I said, we've been saying all podcast long, it's been a fun ride already, and we'll see what happens on Thursday. K-State, Michigan State kicks off a full slate of games. The Sweet 16 begins Thursday with K-State and Michigan State. And let's not forget about here real quick, football here. We'll start talking about that a little bit as well. That's right around the corner, spring ball. So already looking forward to that, but all eyes right now.
They're practicing.
I think they're practicing. Yeah. I've been so caught up in what's been going on with this team. We kind of put football. Sorry, the Big 12 champs in the back burner a little bit.
The Big 12 champs can wait.
They can wait
their turn. We gave them their moment. Now they can give the basketball team their moment.
Yeah, exactly. They can wait. They can wait a little bit longer. That's fine. But yeah, I've heard they started practicing a little bit. So definitely, we will bring them to the forefront next week. Whatever the fate holds K-State men's basketball team. And I'll probably just go ahead and throw in the women's team as well on their pursuit here to try to get themselves to the WNIT next round. So we'll see what happens there as well. Like I said, a lot going on here in Manhattan, Kansas, around K-State sports. You know, a lot of good things right now. Men's golf, they're in contention for possibly another tournament win. So we'll see what happens there as well. A lot of stuff going on, so we'll see what happens.
We will. Look, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. It's an exciting time of the year in the sports world. And enjoy it because, look, I don't want to. I'm not going to call it a dead period, but, you know, after all this craziness here in this beginning of spring, the sports world's going to slow down a little bit, and then we'll be sitting in the podcast talking about two things. One, K-State baseball, and number two, previewing football. You know, we'll probably be doing like previews by position, you know, previewing the offense, previewing the defense, you know, previewing all these different things, because that's, you know, what we do, which are exciting. They're all exciting, but enjoy this moment right now. Enjoy K-State women's team in the WNIT, men's team in the Sweet 16, football on the field for spring practice. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy those moments.
Yeah, and you throw in a couple of special guests in there in between, so, yeah.
Oh, of course. That is prime special guest season.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So definitely, I've got a few things in the works for that as well. I already mentioned one of them here tonight on this podcast, episode 151, Curtis Kelly. Hopefully we can get him back on after this crazy whatever fate again holds K-State within the next.
Curtis Kelly will come on and talk about how K-State won the national championship.
Oh, don't go there. Don't do it. I knew you did. Don't do it.
That was a complete joke, so I don't even feel jinxed.
Alright, with that episode 151 of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly is in the books. This will be out Wednesday afternoon, 24 hours ahead of K-State's tilt with Michigan State in the Sweet 16 in the Big Apple. From the Little Apple to the Big Apple, Marquise Noel, Keontae Johnson, head coach, the coach of the year, the Big 12, Jerome Tane, look forward to this matchup here. They look to take down Michigan State in the Sweet 16. We'll see what happens in New York on Thursday. Alex, it's been a good episode, sir. Look to do it again. We'll be back on next week. We'll see what happens.
I look forward to it. It'll be a good time either way.
Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!